verses 3 and 4. It is up here behind me, or will be. As he finds it, there it is. So let me read this to you. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And so we started talking about according to the Scriptures, why we celebrate this weekend. What is this weekend about? The kids just sang it to us. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sin and rose again to defeat death itself. That's what this weekend is about. And so I want to spend a few minutes this morning. We're going to be in a strange place, you might think, for Resurrection Sunday, but we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to read you verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You can't eat from the tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, 'You must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.'" "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband also, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, why am I in Genesis 3 for Resurrection Sunday? Because I think we need to lay the basis for why we need this weekend. Because everything is broken right here. These four words, I talked about them a little bit Good Friday. These four words, "Did God really say?" breaks everything. We are broken. Our world is broken. And we really don't have to even argue that our world is broken, right? We see it every day. But I wanted to get into a little bit of what's broken. What broke in Genesis 3? When the serpent says, "Did God really say?" what broke? The first thing that broke is our thought life. Notice that in Genesis 2, God says this, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on that day you eat it, you will certainly die." What does Eve say? We just read it in verse 3. She says, "But of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, 'You must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.'" Is that what God said? No, it's not. She adds to what God says. So the first thing that we see that breaks in sin is our thought life. Eve thinks she knows better than God. Eve adds to what God has to say. Eve says, "Well, God may not know that he said if I eat it, I'll die, but he may not know that if I touch it, I'll die too." See, she thinks she now knows better than God. She has added to what God said. Our thought life is broken. Because when the serpent says, "Did God really say?" that runs in our heads now, doesn't it? Did God really say, "I can't do this"? Did God really say, "I can't do that"? Did God really say, and just like Eve, we make God restrictive. God wasn't restrictive. He gave them one law. Don't eat from that tree. And of course, they ate from that tree. But Eve makes God even more restrictive. Don't eat or touch. We do the same thing. What Eve is doing is she's setting up a justification for her sin. God is restrictive. And so in order for me to do the things that I want to do, I have to disobey God. I have to go against what God says. Because what did God really say anyway? Our thought life is broken. Our thought life is corrupted by sin. And so Paul tells us, in Christ, we demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. See, we need this weekend because our thought life is broken. It is corrupted. We need this weekend so that our thought life can be taken captive to Christ. Because in Christ, we can have a new thought life. Now, the next thing that we see is that our emotions are broken. Our heart, our feelings, our desires, our impulses. Genesis 3:6 says that it was desirable. She saw that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. What Eve desires is corrupted by sin, because what Eve desires is what God told her not to do. Right? God said, not that. Anything else, but not that. And that's then the only thing that she desires. So our desires, our feelings, our impulses are corrupted by sin. We can't trust them anymore. Our prisons are full of people who followed their feelings, desires, and impulses. And we had to separate them from society because they were wrong. They hurt other people. Our thoughts are broken. Our thought life is broken and corrupted. Our feelings, our desires are broken. But in Christ, this is what Jeremiah says about our heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, he says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. More deceitful than anything else. And incurable. But what does Christ say? Christ says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are a new creation in Him. We have a new heart. David cried out for a new heart. He created me a clean heart, O God. And God did exactly that in Christ. We need this weekend because our thought life is corrupted and broken. We need this weekend because our feelings, our desires, our impulses, our heart is corrupted and broken. And then what else do we see? We see that we have a totally wrong view of our body. Because the first thing they do is make fig leaves. They see that they're naked and they make fig leaves to cover themselves. Why? Because they were immediately ashamed. We live in a body that we're ashamed of every day. Our bodies, in fact, become vessels of shame. We're unhappy with them. And believe me, the world is trying to sell you stuff to make you think you're better. The world is trying to sell you stuff to make you think that you can be satisfied, but we cannot be satisfied. We cannot be satisfied because our minds, our thought life, is corrupted. We cannot be satisfied because our hearts are corrupted. Satisfaction can't be found. We can't be satisfied because our bodies, we're ashamed. You know, we begin this existence, begin this life, by the pain of someone else, our mother. And we spend this life too often causing pain to others with the body we've been given. That's not how we were made. That wasn't the Genesis 2 pattern. That's broken. And this body continues to show us that it's broken. It continues to show us that it desires things that aren't good for it. That it continues to show us that we cannot trust this body either. We need this weekend because our thought life is broken and corrupted. We need this weekend because our heart is broken and corrupted. We need this weekend because our body is broken and corrupted. Death and disease now come to us. They didn't in Genesis 2. They do in Genesis 3. We need this weekend because of all of this. And we looked a little bit at Genesis 3:15 over on Friday. This is God's first promise that he's going to take care of sin, that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to fix everything that's broken. He says in Genesis 3:15, I will put hostility between you and the woman, he's talking to the serpent here, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This is the first promise of Jesus. The first promise, according to the scriptures, that Jesus will come and die. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to come? Because our thought life is broken, our hearts are broken, and our bodies are broken. Why did he have to die? Because death now comes to us. To defeat death, he has to die and come back from the grave. He comes back from the grave. That's what we're celebrating today. The fact that Jesus died on the cross so that we can have a thought life that's centered on God, every thought taken captive for Christ. We can have a heart that is a new creation. We can have a body that is the temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. We can have all of these things fixed because Jesus came. The death and resurrection of Jesus fixes all of this. It fixes everything. God promises Eve that her offspring will crush the head of the serpent. And the death and resurrection of Jesus does exactly that. It takes away the serpent's worst, biggest, strongest weapon, death. Because now we rise like Christ rose. So every weapon is destroyed. Every weapon of the serpent is destroyed. He certainly bruised the heel of the Savior. Jesus was whipped. He was cursed. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was crucified on a cross. He certainly was bruised. But he crushed the head of the serpent in his death and his resurrection. See, Genesis 3 shows us why we need this weekend. Genesis 2 is our goal. Genesis 2 is when Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. Their lives and the lives of the plants and the animals and everything was oriented and focused on God. Genesis 2 gives us the world the way it was meant to be. And Christ comes to take care of Genesis 3 so that we can have Genesis 2 again. We now have a relationship with God again. We can walk with God with our heart, with our thought life taken captive for Christ, with our hearts a new creation, with our bodies understood as the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus came, to give us a chance at Genesis 2 life, where we can walk with God, where we can our thought life, our heart, our body, everything is reoriented, refocused on God the way it was meant to be. That's what we celebrate this weekend. God loves you. He loves you so much that he came here and died on a cross and rose again to give you life, to fix your thought life, to fix your heart, to fix your body, to fix your relationship with him. That's how much God loves you. Do you know the love of God? Are you healed? Is your thought life healed? Your emotions healed? Your body healed? Your relationship with God healed? Because it can be right now. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Because right now, all we need to do is understand that Jesus came for us. He came for me. He didn't come so that sin could go to heaven. He didn't come so that sin would have a correct thought life or a correct relationship with God. He came so that you will. So it's a simple prayer that says, God, I know I have sin in my life. I have said things wrong. I have thought things wrong. I have done things wrong. And I know that the Bible calls that sin. But I trust that Jesus died on that cross to save me, to pay my price for my sin. And so I ask you to come into me, to forgive me for my sin because of his finished work on the cross. And I ask you to come into my life. Give me this resurrected life with every thought captive to Christ, with a new heart, and with an understanding of my body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Give me this life this morning. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor. Let them know. Maybe this morning you've been thinking about this weekend, wondering what it's really all about. This is it. It's about he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Just as God said it would happen, it did. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate this weekend. We thank you, Father, that in Christ we can be new. New thoughts, new heart, new understanding of who we are and our bodies. New relationship with you. Father, we thank you for this weekend and for all that we celebrate today. In Jesus' name, amen. So,